Father, we want to thank you so much that you know our hearts inside out. You know what we need when we aren't even aware of it. We thank you that the justice that you have provided for us, the justification that can only come from you, satisfies our hearts as nothing in this world ever could. We thank you that you are persuading our hearts so that we can receive your justification and no longer chase after the justification that we could get in the world. Thank you, God. Amen. I'm not going to make it without my water. So we all have a desire for justice. It starts when we're really young. I can remember being a little girl, and any time that I encountered anything that was unjust, I would say, "That's not fair." As you can imagine, I said it a lot. I can remember if my mom would discover that one of her precious little children had grabbed one of the cookies that were cooling off on the counter, she'd say, "Who took the cookie?" "Not me, not me, not me, not me." And she'd say, "Okay, everybody loses 30 minutes of outside playing." "That's not fair." And we would just shout it at the top of our lungs. But it didn't matter. It was still not fair. And we lost our time outside. So our hearts, even before we went to school, had this system in us that said, "I want what's fair. I want what's right." And then we got to school. And then some of those teachers would take away recess because some of the kids in the class wouldn't be quiet. And we would say, "That's not fair." But it didn't matter. We didn't get any compassion. Fairness means free from bias or injustice, without cheating or trying to achieve unjust advantage. Justice is just behavior or treatment, fairness, impartial, and trustworthy. As I said, our teachers didn't give us much compassion when we yelled, "That's not fair." And my mom certainly didn't either. When we complained about the unfair system of justice to my mom, this was her favorite response. "Who told you life was fair?" Who told us that life was fair? That's been causing me to ponder a lot lately. Who told me that? Where did I get that? How did that belief system of right and wrong and justice and injustice get into my heart at such an early age? Who told me that this world would give me life? And not just my heart, but all the other kids that I was around too. They felt the same way. Haven't we kind of heard that phrase before? Who told you? Who told you you were naked? Where does that question come from? The world has a voice, and it screams at us sometimes. We believe we deserve justice, and unfair is unfair. This sense of wanting justice in the world follows us into adulthood. Have you ever been in the left lane of traffic, and the traffic's been stopped for a while, and all of a sudden the right lane starts moving? It's creeping, but it's moving, and it's moving consistently. And the lane that you're in, the left lane, it doesn't budge. And as you start to get more and more aggravated, and so you're there for about 45 minutes, and finally your lane starts creeping up. And when you get to the front of the problem, you see why the right lane moves so much quicker than the left lane. The people in the right lane were cutting in front of the people in the left lane. The problem was in the right lane, not in your lane. That gives us a feeling of injustice. How did all those people get to go in front of us? Sometimes these feelings of injustice produce very strong emotions. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you watched your coworkers get raises and promotions and you just sit in the same pay grade for years? And you watch those workers that are getting raises and promotions, and it seems like they don't do that much. And you're busting your tail every day. A sense of injustice can rise up in us so easy. Or how about, I had this happen to me a couple of weeks ago. We changed our TV service provider because when we called, I won't say the name of the company, when we called them, the lady that we talked to said, oh, if you get this service, we can give you a much better deal. You're paying so much right now, and if you get this, you'll only pay a third of that. Sounds great. I was so excited. So we switched. And guess what? We switched only to find out that the person that I spoke to on the phone must have just been misinformed. And we weren't going to get that big break that we thought we were going to get. Injustice. It's not fair. I could hear myself just as a little girl in my mom's kitchen. It's not fair. And the same thing was coming up in me when I'm 67 years old. The same chant, it's not fair. I still want justice, just as I did when I was a little girl. Or you go to a car dealer. That's probably all I need to say about that one. So we have talked a lot about finding life from this world and the fact that this world can't give us life. It's a fallen world, and it's filled with sin and death and injustice. It does not have the ability to give us life. And I don't think anybody in this room would go to a grapefruit and squeeze it and expect to get orange juice or grape juice. Why not? Because we know that the grapefruit doesn't have the ability to give us anything but grape juice. But we go to the world thinking that we're going to get justice and fairness in the world, when the world does not have the ability to give it to us. It's fallen, and it doesn't have that ability. It can't give us what it doesn't have. The human heart knows that it's created for glory and honor. So it seems only fair that we would get glory and honor. That causes our heart to go to great lengths to try to get it in this world. It causes our hearts to cry out in frustration when we know what should be ours and we can't get it here. Our hearts know that we've been promised an inheritance. Our hearts know that we were created to experience justification and value. The problem is that the world can't give us those things that our hearts know that we need and we have. Romans 8, verse 22 and 23 says it like this. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So while we're here in this fallen world, our hearts know what we're promised. We know our inheritance. And so we expect to experience the value that we have. So when we don't get what our hearts are expecting, our emotions can run amok. Now, there's no shame in that. We all experience it. And when it happens, all it means is that our hearts are desiring the very thing that God has for us. He knows He created our hearts. God understands when we're going through that and feeling it. And He knows that He has the solution to bring our hearts back to peace. He is actually the only one that has the solution, because the solution is Him. We're going to take a look at Paul kind of quickly. He experienced a lot of unfair situations, right? In 2 Corinthians 12, we see Paul getting frustrated and crying out to God. It says in verse 8 that he besought the Lord three times that the messenger of Satan would depart from him. That word besought, it means to cry out aloud, to utter in a loud voice. So Paul was having it out with God. He was having a fit. He was saying, this isn't fair. I am going from town to town. I am preaching everywhere. And look at what's happening. Everywhere I go, I'm being stoned. I'm being mocked. I'm being called a liar. Make it stop. Some of you all might remember watching the I Love Lucy show. If you remember Lucy's husband, Ricky, when he was upset, he would start out speaking in English. But as he got more and more upset, he would transfer right mid-sentence from English to Cuban Spanish. And he would just go at it and... That's what Paul was doing. Paul was having it out with God. Have you ever done that? Paul wanted justice. He said, this isn't fair. I hope you have been there at some point in your life. I know I sure have been there. And it's good. I used to think it wasn't good. I was taught that you only come to God in faith, that you start out speaking to him in praise and thankfulness, and then you go into the things that you desire. God enjoys who we are. He enjoys our realness. He wants us to be ourselves. He wants us to have the freedom to share our emotions with him without fear. And you know, there aren't too many places in this world where we can just let it all hang out and there are no consequences. But that's God. That's who God is. He is our place that we can let it all out. We can scream it's not fair. We can say make it stop. We can say I don't like this. And he's our safe place. There are no consequences that are negative from God at no matter what place we find ourselves. Did Paul want justice from the world? You bet he did. Do you want justice from the world? You bet you do. Wouldn't it be nice to realize that day after day everything was going to just go fine and have no problems? But the truth is, that's not possible. The world can't give us that. And really, if that's what we're chasing after and thinking that this world can bring us justice, it only brings us a lot more misery, also known as death. Why do we want justice from this world so badly? I think the answer is in Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What is that way that seems right to man? It comes from the wrong belief system. We think we can earn a good life in this world by our own works and self-effort. We want to earn fairness and justice in this world by our works. We get upset when we experience something in this world that isn't fair. So it's our carnal minds that believe we can get life and justice from this world. But that belief only brings death. It doesn't satisfy, and it doesn't produce justification. When we get smacked in the face by injustice, it really can smack us in the face. Our emotions are strong. We know inside of us it's not fair, and we just want fairness. And we make judgments about it. And we find ourselves in the carnal realm, which presses in on us. And what do we do when we see something that's not fair? We want to fix it. We want to make it right. And so then we can get pressed in to go about doing those things, to trying to fix all the injustices we see in our life. But the world's justice cannot satisfy us. It can't deliver what our heart is really desiring. Even when we think it has, we eventually find out that it hasn't brought us death, but only life. I know you all, I don't think you're much different from me. Every now and then I'll say, if I could only have this one thing taken care of in my life, then I'll be happy and I'll be satisfied. And you know, a while goes by and you know that one thing gets taken care of. And then, right after that, I say, you know, if I could just get this one thing taken care of, then I'll be happy. And after 67 years of doing that, I realize that those things that I want to be taken care of, they must be spring-loaded. And as soon as one of them gets taken care of, there's another 200 that are popping up that need to be taken care of also. So did that one thing that I needed really make me happy? No. And the really kind of profound thing is, if all of those things got taken care of, that wouldn't make me happy either. Because the joy that belongs to us does not come from this world. It's a joy that's above this world, that this world could never provide. And it comes from God. We often see people that have acquired worldly fame and riches and honor, and they struggle too. And so I'm going to share a couple of people. I don't want anyone to think I'm being critical of them. I actually have a lot of respect for them because they've done things that I couldn't do. They have had determination and tenacity to do the thing that they love. But one of the people is a track cyclist, and she won the U.S. gold medal at the World Championships in 2016, 2017, and 2018. Earlier this month, she committed suicide. 23 years old. 23 years old. Can you imagine how much tenacity and drive must have been in her to win the championships like that 3 years in a row? And yet it wasn't enough to give her the life that she was seeking. The other person that I want to mention is an Olympic swimmer. He says that after the Olympics, he would often fall into a state of despair because of the highs that he experienced at the Olympics. And he said he would medicate himself with alcohol and drugs. His hardest fall, he said, came after the 2012 Olympics, where he found himself sitting in his room alone for over 3 days, not eating or barely sleeping. He said, I didn't want to be in the sport anymore. I didn't want to be alive anymore. Now listen to what he did in that 2012 Olympics that he experienced such a severe depression after. His medal count increased to 22. He set a new world record for the most Olympic medals. He won 4 gold medals and 2 silver medals in the 2012 Olympics. Yet within that week, he was in a deep depression. He went from that super, super high to a super, super low. And it's because those things, even though they're wonderful to experience, they can't satisfy what the heart really wants. It isn't worldly fame and worldly riches and worldly honor that our hearts really want or need. It comes from God, and only He can satisfy. We see it repeatedly in musicians and celebrities who seem to have so much fame and the world's justice. And they're dying, so many of them, from drug overdoses and suicide. No matter what they did or what they chased after, it couldn't give them life. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying there. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sports or entertainment. I'm not saying stay away from them. I'm just saying that they can't be your source of life and fulfill what your heart is really desiring. Our worldly accomplishments, no matter how great they might be, can never be our source of life. Our hearts are really crying out to be justified. We're longing to be declared righteous in the sight of God. And you know, that's really good news because we already got it. God has already justified us. He has already told us that we are righteous in his eyes. So what are we chasing after? What is it that we want? What did Jesus tell us about life being fair and getting justice from the world? Jesus prepared us that this world isn't fair. He let us know that it couldn't be our source of justice, and it isn't a place for us to seek justification. He told us we would have tribulation in this world, and that we would experience persecution. Do you know what those are? That's injustice and unfairness. So it's not like we've been fed a bill of goods and we were lied to and told, here's the one I was told. If your faith is strong enough, you can have everything you want in this world. I don't find that that's what Jesus said, though. Jesus said we would have tribulation in this world, that this world could never be our source of justice and fairness. But the carnal mind wants to be justified by being right, by getting our own way, by having everything work out for us, and not just next week, but now, by having riches and fame, by building a big business, a big ministry, a big church. How does that line up with Jesus and what Jesus did? How did things look in this world for Jesus' ministry? Didn't look too good, did it? A lot of tribulation, a lot of persecution, a lot of unfairness. And that was the Son of God. So he himself did not experience fairness and justification. And his ministry didn't look like it was going to take off at all. In fact, they killed him. How did that look? And they killed him and accused him for being a liar. So he was caught in this huge scandal that he wasn't even the Son of God. That's what his ministry looked like. And we want worldly honor and respect. When we see injustice in the world, our hearts cry out foul. We want justice. Where will we find the justice that's going to satisfy our hearts? We can try to get it through the carnal way, which we've had a lot of experience with that. And many people respond that way. In fact, everybody but Jesus. We try to fix the injustices in our own strength. Remember Peter when they arrested Jesus? And Peter cried, foul! That's not fair. He hasn't done anything wrong. And he drew out his sword and he sliced off one of the soldier's ears. That's how Peter was going to get justice. What was Jesus' response? He healed the man's ear and succumbed to arrest. It's because he wasn't trusting in the world for justification. He was trusting in his Father to give him justification. Many times our carnal way of responding to injustice is like Job. And we think God's causing the problem and that God has forsaken us. I don't think too many of us here believe that right now, but we sure used to. And it's only hearing the truth over and over again and letting God persuade our hearts that those were lies, that we've been set free. We can throw a fit. We can medicate ourselves with food, with TV, with drugs, with alcohol. There's so many choices that the world offers. It's just amazing. You know, I think that should give us a clue right there. The world offers a million different ways to take care of our emotions. When we see injustice, God offers one. It's him. It's what he says about us. It's what his opinion is of us. It's what he says our value and worth is. And then we can do like what Paul did. And when we're feeling injustice and we've been smacked by the world, we can bring our hearts to God. It can be tears. It can be screaming and yelling. God loves it however we come to him. And we can cry out to him for justice. And he will give us his justice. He will give us what he has. He will give us everything that he has. And that's what will satisfy our hearts and bring us back to a place of peace. We all desire justice. And it's because our hearts were made for justification. The problem arises when we try to get it in this world and not from God. Let's look at how God views us when we're experiencing injustice. Okay, we're not going to look at it. I will read it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wow. We have a high priest that knows how we feel. He feels what we feel. He's not above it. He's not a God that says, "What's wrong with you? Why are you feeling that way? You should be at a better place than this by now." God doesn't do that. He feels the pain and hurt in our hearts. He experienced it himself when he was in the earth, and he feels it when we're feeling it. And it says that he was tempted like we are in all points. Maybe it's going now. Nope, it is not. Which means that he's experienced all of this. He had his identity attacked. He had his sense of justice attacked. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it's like to be put in display in public and called a liar or be told that you're worthless. He experienced those things, and he knows how we feel when it happens to us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So when we're all flustered and we're all upset and we're yelling it's unfair, we can go boldly to God. And that word boldly, it means all outspokenness. To be frank, to be blunt, to let it flow out of you. Like Ricky Ricardo did. I think there's a reason it was in Cuban Spanish. It probably was, some of it was a little bit vulgar. So we know that we have that freedom too. It doesn't matter what comes out of our mouths to God. He wants us to be ourselves with him, and he will respond to us in kindness, in compassion, and grace. Grace is God's divine influence upon the heart. God's influence upon our heart and how it applies in our life. How many times have we been upset about something and we go to God and he'll say one sentence to us, and all of a sudden we're taken out of this big dark pit. And we're shining in the light. And the thing that was upsetting us so much has totally lost its power. That's what God's grace does for us. God's grace is a more powerful force in our life than any injustice we might face in this world. I'm going to say that again. God's grace is a more powerful force in our life than any injustice we might face in this world. Did Paul get justice or fairness that the world gives? No, he did not. Did he get God's justice? Yes, he did. The world will throw many things at us to get our focus off God, to cause us to cry, it's not fair. But let's listen to what God's justice was for Paul. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9, this is what God tells Paul after Paul has had a fit and said, I don't like what's happening here. I want you to make it stop. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. I am enough for you. What I have for you is enough to overcome what you're experiencing in this world. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, you want to talk about a promise from God? That is a promise from God. And it applies to us. When we're weak, God's strength is there for us. What an amazing promise. Makes it so we don't have to be afraid of being weak. God was telling Paul that all Paul needed was God himself. Paul thought his circumstances had to change for him to get justice. But God says, no, my divine influence in your heart is all that you need. And listen to what the word weakness means. It means feeble in mind or body, malady, moral frailty, and sickness. That covers just about everything we could ever encounter in our lives. So any weakness, all weakness, God can overcome with his grace. And it's not just an offer to Paul. It's an offer to each one of us. Romans 3:26 says that God is just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. So it's God who brings justice to us. He is our justifier. Once we really get that in our hearts so deep that we know it's true, I don't think we'll be so upset when somebody says something bad about us. I mean, think about it. Are you going to be concerned about some stranger over there or even somebody that loves you? Let's make it real personal. When you know in your heart what God has said about you, we don't need to be worried about what anybody else thinks. Paul got it so deep in his heart, he said he didn't even judge himself because he followed one judgment, one opinion, and it was God's opinion of him. That word justifier means to render just or innocent, guiltless. God is our source of justice, not the world. We don't need to get our value and worth from the world or how what it says about us or how it treats us. We will never find peace or rest like that. We could see God's justice at work in John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me, in Jesus, you might have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Boy, he says a lot of things right there. He says, first, before he ever tells us what's going to happen in the world, he says, in me, you're going to have peace. That's where you're going to have your peace. The world isn't going to give you peace. That's not the place to get peace from. But you can be happy and be of good cheer, even in the midst of tribulation, because I have overcome the world. What does that mean? He has overcome the world. It means that no matter what might happen to you in the world, God's grace is greater than that. And as we can receive that grace and let it have its profound work in our hearts, we can get to a place where nothing bothers us. It doesn't matter. We've seen it. We saw it with Daniel in the lion's den. He said, if God covers the lion's mouth, okay. If not, okay. He was okay either way. How is a person like that? How do they get like that? It's because God's grace has so filled them up that nothing in this world really can hurt them or touch them. God's perspective in his view and God's faith influenced Paul's heart so much that he could see his life through God's eyes instead of his own. And that is what happens when grace comes and persuades our heart. We don't see things the way our carnal mind sees them. We see what God sees. And Paul found out that God's grace was enough for him, and it did give him everything he needed. This is Paul's response back to God's grace in his life. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is after God tells him, "My grace is sufficient for you." This is Paul's response. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Wow, what a change. Did his circumstances change? No, they did not. This was the work of God and his faith in Paul's heart. And Paul went from, "I can't take this anymore," to, "Bring it on. It's okay. It doesn't have the power to hurt me anymore. It can't shake me because I have God's grace." Not only was Paul able to be content, but he said he had pleasure. That is amazing. What a powerful justifier our God is. Was Paul in a better place when he was trying to get justice from the circumstances or from God's grace? Trying to be justified in the world system brought him nothing but anger and frustration and misery, and even some anger at God. When he was trying to get justice in the world, he was a most miserable person. But God's grace gave him justice. God's justice gave Paul peace and joy. God's peace and God's joy. And God told him that is that same grace that changed his heart so powerfully was available to Paul every time he felt weak, in any kind of weakness. Did Paul get justice? Oh, yes, he did. His circumstances didn't change in this world, but Paul definitely got justice. He got God's justice, and that far surpasses anything this world has to offer us. Paul was translated by God's grace from wanting God to remove all the troubles in his life, and he was moved into learning to be content in all circumstances. That's a much higher level of justice. Isaiah 61:3 says it this way: God gives us beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God wants to come and transform how we're looking at things and what we're experiencing by such a profound experience with him that it will override what the world's trying to throw at us and just saturate us in God's life. And that's where we find beauty and joy and praise. We can also see God's system of justice displayed in Stephen's life and in his death. In Acts 6 and 7, Stephen is preaching and doing many miracles among the people. And several groups of the synagogue disagreed with what he was saying. So And they set up false witnesses that told lies about Stephen. That's not fair, we could all say. That isn't right. But let's look at God's system of justice. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. Do you think that might have a little effect on us? We see the glory of God. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Can you imagine? Do you think that that's just a little bit more powerful than anything that was going on the ground? I think so. The people grabbed Stephen and cast him out of the city and stoned him. As they stoned him, Stephen said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And with that, he fell asleep. There we see the justice of God. God opened up the heavens for Stephen and let him see where he was going to be very shortly. Let him see his value in his worth in the body of the resurrected Christ. And then Stephen displays God's justice to the very people that are killing him. Don't let them suffer because of that. Your justice, God says, they're forgiven. And that's what Stephen extends to them. Instead of seeing the world's injustice, Stephen got the big picture of God's justice and what it could do. Stephen was filled with more of God's life, so much so that he cared more about the people stoning him than he cared that he was being stoned. That's what God's justification looks like. God's justice is greater than any justice the world could ever offer us. The world's justice is really a counterfeit, because even when we get it, it doesn't satisfy us. It might look good for a distance, but it doesn't produce what our hearts really want. Jesus came to show us God's heart for us so we could know that God's justice is the best justice there is. It's the really only justice there is. And we can experience God as our justifier. Jesus experienced a lot of injustice in the world too, from people in his hometown, from some of his disciples, and from the church. He was lied about, spit on, stripped naked, crucified, although he hadn't done anything wrong. But none of those circumstances had the power to shake him, because he didn't look to the world for justice. He knew how valuable he was, and he knew who his justifier was. Jesus knew God as his God. He allowed his Father to serve him with everything he needed for life and for justice. Psalm 22 gives us an idea of the injustices that Jesus experienced. The bulls of Bashan beset him. He was poured out like water. All his bones were out of joint. His heart melted in the midst of his bowels. His strength dried up like a potsherd. His tongue cleaved to his jaws. His identity was attacked and mocked. The world offered Jesus no justice. He experienced unfairness in this world, but he trusted in God to justify him. And let's look at what God's justice did for Jesus. God was his shepherd. Jesus didn't want, because he didn't lack anything. God's justice made Jesus to lie down in the green pastures. God's justice led him beside the still waters. God's justice restored his soul. God's justice led Jesus in the paths of righteousness. He feared no evil. He was comforted. God prepared a table before Jesus in the presence of his enemies. He anointed Jesus' head with oil. Jesus' cup ran over. Goodness and mercy followed Jesus continually. And he knew he would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is justice. That's what we want to think about when we think about justice. Jesus didn't try to get justice in this world. He received it from the one and only true place to get it, from his Father. God's justice for us defies the logic of the world because it's contrary to carnal thinking. God gives us his justice free from any works on our part. God desires to serve you with his justice. He adores you, and he wants to raise you above any injustice you might experience in the world. He has given you everything that he is. When man rejected God's plan and found himself naked, God's justice clothed him. God brought him out of the garden to protect him from eating from the tree of life and living in a perpetual state of death forever. God continued to show man that he wanted to be their God and serve them his justice. He wanted to serve them with his love, his joy, his peace, in all of who he is. He didn't require any performance from man. Boy, that's against the world's justice system. God didn't require any performance from us. He only wanted us to receive his goodness. God's justice leads us to repentance by his goodness. When man rejected God's Son, he died to save them from death. God came and he took our death and our sin to free us from it. He saved us from the grave that we had dug for ourselves. He has redeemed you from the system of performance and works. He has made you, joint heirs with Jesus. He sits you at his right hand. He promises you an incorruptible body that will live forever. He seats you in the Godhead. He adores you. And you don't have to do anything except receive it and believe it. We're going to look at one more scripture that shows God's justice for us. It's in Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom you from the power of the grave. I will redeem you from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Wow. God is for us. God is for you. And he is against everything that hurts you. Every form of death that could try to come against you in this world and try to dump injustice and unfairness on you, God's saying, I am taking care of that. I am going after it. The thing is we just always figure he goes after it by removing it. I don't know why we think that. We've all read the Bible. He says, some things, yes, are taken care of in the world. But when they're not, God's grace comes and it takes care of it for us. So the circumstances don't even have to change. God's justice will prevail forever, eternally. The world can't offer us anything that's going to last eternally. God's heart is to bring you his justice. God's heart is to persuade you so you can rest and not need to chase after the world's justice system because he knows it hurts you. The same justice that God gave to Paul and Stephen and Jesus is the same justice that he has for you. It gives you strength for weakness, beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. It brings you his peace in any circumstance. He saturates you in his love that the world cannot overcome. God is here to serve you with his justice. He is your justifier. His justice brings you his strength when you're weak. This isn't anything that we can accomplish in ourselves. It isn't anything that our works can attain for us. There isn't anything for us to do except to hear it as truth and receive it. It's God's desire to serve you by persuading you with his grace, with his justice, just as he did with Paul. It's God's work. He serves you with his justice. God's justice far surpasses anything that the world can offer us. If we do something wrong, he doesn't remember it. Have you experienced that in the world? Don't think so. He puts any mistakes as far away from us as the east is from the west. The world won't do that for us. God wants you on his team whether you play ball good or not. Don't experience that in this world. Whether you look great or not. He doesn't play favorites and he doesn't have favorites. The world won't give you that. God has redeemed you from the grave and given you eternal life. The world can't give you that. So when you're tired and you're exhausted and you just stay in your pajamas all day, feel like I don't even want to put on makeup or do anything to make myself look good, God says you're beautiful. The world won't give you that. God's justice far surpasses anything that this world could ever give us. It's perfect, it's eternal, and it overcomes everything, all the injustice, all the unfairness that the world provides for us. We thank you so much, Father, for your justice. We've unknowingly cried out for the world system of justice from you and asked, what works must we do to be saved? And you answered us with your justice and said, only believe in the one I sent, and you can live in my life, my love, my justification. We thank you, Father, for your justice, that it is beyond anything this world could ever offer to us, and it's better than we could ever think or imagine. Amen. Yay, we have God's justification.